Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live from the entertainment capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. This is Needle on the Record on Blog Talk Radio. Here are your hosts, Angela T. and Angela Marie.
What up, world? This is Angela T, and you've tuned in to another fine episode of Needle on the Record. We are here to give the Billboard rundown, the for real rundown. I mean, every dirty little thought that entered your mind rundown. Plus, we have a featured guest this afternoon, Mr. Lee Guilford. He's our special correspondent who was dead on the spot last night. He was in the place to be, so he's going to help us out. And, you know, just having fun with this Billboard rundown. Thank you so much for tuning in. And here's my co-host.
Hey, 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 world. Tis Angela Marie. I have missed you all so very dearly. And, of course, we had to come back the day after the Billboard Awards. And as usual, I was nowhere near the television. So have to depend on Angela T's commentary, but honey bye, I still got plenty to say and lots of perspective and points of view to let y'all know what's going on with my perspective for how these award shows are going. But before we get into all that, I want to inspire some people. So it is Monday, the 23rd of April, and we're going to keep it simple with a little quote.
Start the show off right with our Monday motivation, and then we're going to bring our special guest, Lee Guilford, in, and then we're going to get the party cracking with this Billboard business.
So here's your little motivation. You have brains in your head. You have feet on your shoes. You can steer yourself in any direction you choose. From good old Dr. Seuss.
Well, you know, I love that guy.
Come on now.
Yes.
Let it inspire your day now.
All right. Well, we've been sufficiently motivated.
Yes. Now we're about to use the brains in our head.
get into this award show.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to bring to the platform Mr. Lee Guilford. And Lee.
Can you hear me, Angela?
Yes.
Hey.
Can hear you. What's happening, Lee, man? Thank you for joining us today. We cannot wait to hear your perspective on everything that happened at the 2016 Billboard Awards. So let's get cracking without further ado.
All right. Well, I'm lucky enough that I get to participate in the award show through Westwood One and Cumulus Radio. We do
cool.
The radio backstage live, the Westwood One backstage live. So if you hit up the hashtag backstage live or WWO backstage live, you'll see a bunch of the photographs and stories that we've been posting throughout the weekend. Various entertainers. We have radio hosts from all over the country come in, and we do a press junket on Saturday. And that's probably the most fun for us, because that's where we get to see all the stars, the celebrities, the new up-and-comers. I got to spend the afternoon with Fat Joe and Terrace Squad.
What?
Shout out to those guys. Absolutely hilarious.
Tell us a little bit about that hangout. That must have been something. It was a big weekend for, you know, 90s hip-hop. You know, Puffy put it down at the Barclays Center all weekend long. So what was happening with Fat Joe and the Terror Squad here at the Billboard Awards?
Joe wasn't even at the awards. Joe went from L.A., drove to Las Vegas, came through to do the media side, run by Floyd's house for his daughter's birthday party, headed out
right.
to Arizona for a show, and then was back. These guys kept it pushing. They're out there just trying to let everybody know that they all the way up. So that's, they were calling it out all weekend. It was a real fun experience. They invited me to go hang out with them. Unfortunately, I had work to do yesterday, so I didn't get to go on that road trip down to Arizona.
Lee was on the grind. I understand, man. You got to keep it pushing sometimes. We see all this fun in our profession. But, yeah, sometimes you just got to keep it focused and stay on the grind.
Yeah, you got to be able to just say no sometimes. These guys out there, Kevin Hart said it when he these entertainers will have you in all kinds of trouble.
Did they let you know if there are any new projects coming out? Terror Squad used to tear the club up.
So Joe got an album dropping, the full album. I want to say tomorrow, as a matter of fact. I was so busy kicking it with Uncle Dan and his manager, Elliot, that I wasn't really listening on the interviews. But I want to say if it's not tomorrow, then it's next Tuesday. But Joe got the full album coming out right now.
That's exciting. And him and Remy Ma have reunited, from what I understand.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I look forward to hearing that.
They got some new talent in the works. I met this young spitter named T.A., real fire off the top of his head, just an entertaining, charismatic guy in general.
Mm-hmm.
So be on the lookout for TA coming up through Terror Squad as well.
All right, and is that a singing artist? Is he a rapper?
Yeah, he's a rapper. He's opening for Joe at these shows right now. They're doing something with E40 in the next day or two. They're really out there just keeping it pushing, and he's the new opening act for Terror Squad, so we should be hearing his name coming up here through the grind in the next couple of months.
Yeah, well, so what's your thoughts on the show, Lee? Some of the perspectives on the show. What did you think of Luda and Sierra as a dynamic duo that hosted the whole thing last night?
I tell you what, on Saturday, it looked as though they both had so much better things to do as they were doing sound checks and warm-ups. And that's the only real perspective I get, because on the night of the show, I'm actually hidden underneath the building just telling people that they can't use this restroom or stay out of this person's dressing room or this person needs roses or running around doing stuff like that. So I get to watch the rehearsals and the warm-ups. And
what was the best rehearsal that you saw, Lee?
Honestly, it was watching Christina trying to learn to interact with the hologram. To me, that was
really?
Because they would have to spool it up, and she didn't know what she was singing to, and they had cues and points. But I'm 150 feet away up or above them in the rafters looking down and just watching the whole ordeal take place as she's learning to speak to imaginary objects and sing to it with emotion. And that was really a lot of fun just to watch that whole process evolve, because it was everybody's first time doing that particular endeavor, that particular type of performance.
Okay, for those who aren't familiar with, ain't on the first name basis with Chris, fill the people in with who exactly we're talking about and talk about, you know, the song they were doing. It's pretty interesting.
Okay. Christina Aguilera and Christina Aguilera did a performance that introduced a hologram of Whitney Houston. So for those people who have seen the Coachella performance with Tupac or Jerry Garcia with the Grateful Dead will understand what I'm talking about. But it's a full-on performing and interacting hologram singing Whitney's song. So Christina Aguilera gets to stand next to the hologram and actually sing a duet with her. And to watch it transpire and to watch it work out to get to the final product, the first version of it was hideous. I didn't know what they were going to come up with at that point. It just looked awkward. It looked uncomfortable. And they worked through their issues. They were watching it on the monitor, running it, checking the whole time. And the behind-the-scenes work, that's the stuff that people don't understand on a day of a show. But the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on in order to produce that show was incredible.
Yeah,
so many
it is an incredible process to watch.
Yeah, so there's sound boards. They've got 1,000 tracks of audio running into eventually what is one master output. And for people who don't understand what that means, it means we're going to braid together 1,000 fishing lines and get it through the eye of one fishing hook. And we're going to bring those fishing lines to every corner of the boat.
Perfect analogy. Now, we all over here at Needle on the Record have been debating, like, really since last night. What's your thoughts? What was the rehearsal like, if you did see a rehearsal for the Madonna tribute? What was that like? And then, like, what was your take on the actual performance?
So there wasn't, I'll say I didn't get to see a rehearsal on it. I saw this morning, actually, on, well, you know, trending in the morning. I got to see the performance, not live, but I've seen it enough to be able to speak on it. And my first issue and the first thing that came to my thought was, why Madonna? I know they're both iconic performers, but I couldn't recall a single duet, photograph, appearance of Princess
actually,
Madonna.
You so young, Lee. That's because you're young. They actually did have a relationship. Mm-hmm. He wrote songs for Madonna. I think there were two songs in her history that he wrote, and they were pretty good friends, and then they had a falling out for a few years, and then they had recently, like, reunited and reignited their friendship before his untimely death. So, you know, but like most people are like you, I think, they don't get the connection to Prince. You know, it's a lot of people that do the same thing for a living.
Lionel Richie, to me, would have been a better performer to bring up. The hell, bring Dave Chappelle up there for a tribute concert. And from a modern perspective,
Dave Chappelle, you know what? So, you know, it exploded on Twitter. I mean, most people had a bad reaction to the performance. Here's my perspective on it. I thought she got the imagery right, the purple chair, the intro with her hand on the cane and the jewelry and the lace sleeve hanging out. That was totally what we love, like Purple Rain Prince. She was bringing Purple Rain Prince. And then that suit was spot on. Love the suit. But the minute she opened her mouth to me, when I think of Prince, it was all celebratory music. It was all party music. Sure, he made some classic ballads. And, you know, I can even understand her picking Nothing Compares to You, just in the sentiment that nothing compares to Prince. There's no one that can really compare to Prince.
That's right.
But to make it your whole performance and to drag poor Stevie Wonder into this, like, come on, Stevie, take me to church. I was like, Madonna, no, don't do that to Stevie. That's so wrong. You crazy, Madonna.
Hot talk to me.
Huh?
That was the equivalent of Hillary bringing out hot sauce on the morning show or with Chuck Solomon.
It really was. It really was. You have said a mouthful there. And I'm like, okay, none of this, all of this is very painful to watch. But
I do get it. First of all, going back to their relationship, I think that, you know, Madge had some things that she wanted to shuffle out. And being the iconic individual that she is, I think that she feels like her private corner is the universe. So I kind of get it. I don't agree with it. I still have to Google this performance so that I could be aware. But I can say of maybe the last year, Madge has been going out of her way to make this generation and
love
my
her.
Generation be made aware, not necessarily love her, but like bow down, because, you know, in her world,
cheated
she's
out of
a
that
big deal.
Yeah, and she's been cheated out of every single one of those moments.
She's really, really tried. Like,
she
scared the hell out of me when she tried to tongue Drake down. And, you know, I feel like this Prince situation isn't too far beyond that kind of mindset. I do get it, though. Like I said, you know, I do respect the fact that they had a relationship. They're two awesome icons that really are an instrumental part of the soundtrack of my childhood. Absolutely. But, Madge, honey, I'm going to need you to take several seats and not get up from them anymore.
Well, you guys,
okay.
BET has next, meaning they're next up in the award season.
Whoa.
They're doing the next Prince tribute, and they did the ultimate Twitter shade last night with putting that meme, that gif out there to let you know we got next. The BET Awards 2016 Prince tribute, they did that last night, and they really took over a moment that should have belonged to the Billboard Awards, but because their tribute was so god-awful, BET was able to come in for the steal and just take that moment. I have come up with my list, my dream team list of who I think should do the BET
Before you reveal
tribute.
The list,
so
I do have to put it on the record that it was very clever of BET to go out there and take the first jab
Ew.
On social media. But
yeah.
Let's be realistic about BET's track record, okay? Because it's been
what?
A lot of iconic individuals who have passed away, and I feel like BET has sat the hell down when they really could have been going in. So I really don't have that much faith, in all honesty.
Really?
I really don't.
I felt that they did Mike right. When Mike passed away, the tribute that they did featuring the great Chris Brown.
Yeah, but wasn't
the
that the Billboard Awards? Like, I'll
no,
have
that
to.
That was Chris
that
Brown.
That was BET?
That was Chris Brown, yes.
No,
BET.
I remember it was BET.
That
I mean,
was BET.
That was Chris Brown, but
that
I
was BET.
Can't
yes.
recall. Okay, well, yay for that one. But Prince, I mean, Michael has been gone now all of my son's life. That boy's 7.5 years old now.
I'm just saying, they got that tribute right. Lee, what do you think? What's your perspective on this?
In my case, when was the last time Madonna put out a good ballad to begin with?
Okay, take a bow from, like, the 90s. But
yeah.
That's all I got.
Why
y'all clowning?
But I'm with Angela that her choice in everything up to the point she opened her mouth was fantastic.
Yeah.
She is a good singer, especially of
that
song.
And that's
so
what that highlighted, is that Madge still can't sing, y'all, that we just figured out that Madonna all these years, she tricked us, but she's not a great singer. She just isn't. And that nothing compares to you requires some sort of emoting, some degree of singing. It does. So.
Well,
she just couldn't pull it off. It was terrible. It was terrible. And then she brought poor little Stevie Wonder out there, like, and she literally said, "Come on, Stevie, come on, get in there and like take me to church." I'm like, oh my God.
I do get it. I totally do get it. You know, she was, yeah. You know, from one professional to another, I'm sinking out here. Throw me the life jacket, please. I'm really going to die in front of all of humanity.
Yeah,
it's not cool.
She killed it. So I would like to hear from you guys at this point. But, you know, if you have a list, a dream team list that BET should be pulling together right now on who you guys think should do the Prince tribute at the 2016 BET Awards, I'd love to hear. Starting with you, Lee, you are a special guest today. Who do you think the special person should be? Well, the special group of people.
If I wanted to hear anybody sing, I haven't heard Lionel Richie sing in a while. But Lionel Richie and Prince, in the matter of the day, they spoke to your soul with their music. I always drew that comparison growing up. I'd love to see him get in there. Stevie Wonder, up until Madonna just kind of messed it up for me, I think he needs to just kind of step away from Prince tribute for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Who's
on your list, Lee? You think Lionel Richie should handle the whole thing?
But not the whole thing. There's got to be a couple of others, an ensemble kind of presentation. I'm really trying to think of who matches. All the singers that I like don't have the star power.
Right? And that's my dilemma as well. So, Lee, how about you and I take the next couple days from now until the next show and figure out who our dream team lineup should be so we can get this over to BET?
No, I need some people. Angela, you up next. Lee, you keep thinking. and Angela, you go ahead and give me your dream team.
If
you got a dream team.
I got a dream team. Right now, but what I do have are people that I definitely want them to avoid. I don't think that any of the current singers should play a part in the tribute. So none of the singers from, and I apologize for this, listeners, no shade, but lots of truth, from this generation. I feel like they're not there yet, and it's like super superficial elements that they're rolling out as far as what their artistry should be compiled of. I don't feel like a whole lot of different singers can really deliver. I feel like we're going to relive the whole Madge situation. And with an artist like
now
Prince,
that would be
tragic. You have to have it together on all fronts.
Okay, you guys. Well, I have thought about this extensively, and y'all ready for my list?
Hold on. It's one person I think should have everything.
Ooh.
I do think Miguel should take care of everything having to do with Prince. If it's not him delivering, then he should be producing and overseeing, period. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, here's my list. Here's what I think BET should do. At this point, they should be reassembling the Revolution. They should bring all of the players there from the Revolution band.
I agree.
And they should bring Sheila E., because she wasn't a part of the Revolution, but Sheila E. is an important part of Prince's discography and history. So that's the band. Forget Questlove and the Roots. I love you, Questlove.
But
you
can't do everything.
Yeah, you can't do everything. And you messed up with this Madonna tribute. Billboard hired you, and you fucked up. So I think we should now hand this over to Ray Chew and the crew. And him and Stephen Hill should reassemble the Revolution, first of all, and Sheila E., that's the band. I think I don't want any women participating, but if women participate, I think there should be a recreation of Vanity Six made up of Alicia Keys, I don't know. Let me think about my Vanity 16. But Alicia Keys, I hear, really is chomping at the bit to do this Prince tribute. I think it should be guys. But if there are going to be women participating in it, female artists, I think it should be a Vanity 6 recreation done.
But
maybe
totally...
Kelly Rollins. Yeah, Alicia Keys, Kelly Rollins, and... You know, I'll get one more girl together in a minute, but they should be the 2000 and Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
That's my Vanity Six.
I don't think those artists are from this generation.
But hold on. That's my Vanity Six, and I think that should be an important part of it.
But I real quick before you go on to the next element, I don't think that Alicia Keys should be doing anything beyond playing the instrument.
Okay,
I do not think she
should
add her vocals.
And, well, this is just what's out there.
But if we're just talking about perspectives, like, can we be real? Do you think that she would do a better job than Madge?
I think she would be a great Vanity Six because honestly,
A great Vanity Six, yes.
Vanity Six weren't known for their vocals, but they're a great group. They would be, I think she would be great for that.
I do completely agree. But the way that BET is probably planning on displaying this, I don't know if their head is on no Vanity Six stuff. I think that they could be putting Alicia on stage.
I'm just giving my perspective.
But would you agree with that, though?
No.
Like, if they put Alicia on stage and she just did all of his greatest hits.
I think they're planning to do something, you know.
Lazy?
Yeah, and probably put her into playing a bigger part than she probably should. That's my honest opinion. But if they were going to do it right, I think she should be... Vanity in the Vanity Six recreation.
I agree.
The guys that I think should head up this tribute, Miguel is my number one, D'Angelo is my number two, Pharrell is my number three, with Andre 3000 and Chris Brown. That's who I think the Prince tribute, BET's Prince tribute all-star team should be.
I could enjoy that tribute. I could totally see all of those guys getting it in. I could also see, like, a Beyonce getting up there. And I named Beyonce because she's the dopest in the game. She can sing, she can dance, and she has that, how do you say, je ne sais quoi.
She ain't going to do it, though.
So I know she's not going to do it. And, you know, whatever. But if you were just making wishes up in the air, I think that she would be a great add-on to all the fellas. And I do think that they should consider at least one uber-talented woman because Prince's alter ego was a woman.
And I'm not lying. Like, really, read interviews, look back on different interviews, different things that have come out of his mouth. Prince was very vocal about him having a female alter ego and what happens, you know, like when that thing is coming on the mic.
Oh,
I don't think it's a bad idea. I'm into all the cosmic stuff that he's into, so I totally get it. And he was a Gemini-branded individual, so he's all about duality. Why not have a performance that highlights that?
So, Lee, what's your perspective? We've heard Angela Marie.
I don't know. Angela, the idea of Miguel, Chris Brown, all those guys, that doesn't seem like a tribute. It seems more like a crafting, a taking of what Prince, the artist that Prince inspired, and then just almost a rebranding of what could you come up with. And I don't see BET being that creative. I see BET calling an old bunch of old heads, for lack of a better term. We can call them what they are.
Right.
They'll call
Say it.
The Lionels. They'll call maybe one of these local entertainers that does a mock-up of Prince and have him come out there and do some kind of stunt double-y stuff. But I just can't see BET getting it right. I can see them getting it big. I can see them getting it gaudy. I can see them doing it long. I'm thinking a 12-minute show, straight to 12-minute, commercial to commercial, rolling with the evolution of him. Somebody coming out with an afro and basketball shorts and a basketball jersey on.
I do think a Dave Chappelle intro would be off the chain.
I completely agree, but then we're back to the lazy element. And when I say the word lazy, I just need to highlight the fact that I mean additional work, the things that require for you to plan things out more strategically. I think award shows as a whole are missing, which is why it's not that entertaining for me personally, and why a lot of these different tributes have not resonated with me personally, because I just feel like the energy has not been put into the project.
Can I speak on something real quick that would lead to that?
Go ahead.
So
go ahead, Lee.
One of the biggest epiphanies, because I just worked the Academy of Country Music Awards last month through the same organization that I work with, and I'm doing all the the same stuff for them. The people that showed up for the Academy, it was 2 days, jam-packed, twice as many radio stations, twice as many entertainers. They took it twice as serious. Now, here we are
they
with the Billboard Awards, and none of these artists want to show up and do press. None of these artists want to show up and do autographs. None of them want to do photo ops and interviews. They're drudging through the mandatory stuff as if they don't take their craft serious anymore. They're taking us as fans for granted, and we're allowing them to do that by continuing to support their work with our celebrity worship. Those country artists, they love their fans. They walked every single row where there was somebody to talk to, take pictures of.
Absolutely, they sure do.
Luda threw his hoodie on, ran through, did two interviews, and ran out like he had better things to do.
Wow.
I mean that. And
I have done so many red carpets. I wholeheartedly concur with you, Lee.
Yeah.
There is a difference between the country music community and what we experience from, say, an urban or pop, even the pop world, like BET, like the Billboard is a pop thing. But you're right. Absolutely.
Yeah, Taylor Swift was too good for this too now. Let's be honest. She was nominated for an award but didn't show up. So it's not this isn't even a hip-hoppy thing. This is just people that target younger demographic don't seem to care about their fans. They can just put out a couple of Periscope videos and they feel like they've done their job interacting. Where the country fans want to, or the country artists want to shake hands. They want to be engaged.
Yeah.
They want to be.
And you know what other group is like that? The gospel community. When I cover a gospel event, those artists are everywhere trying to touch hands and press flesh and smile and take pictures with the fans, answer all of the media questions. Even when some of them are in the midst of something controversial, they still walk that carpet with grace and they still address their their fan base. And
but can we just highlight the obvious? I think that it's a matter of a cultural acceptance for a popular artist of whatever genre to treat their fans like trash. That's just what's been going on for a number of years. And I noticed that, you know, from following different artists from my youth up until my adulthood, watching them, you know, the ones especially that have, like, the reality shows. Like, let's talk about Trey Songz, for example, right? Yeah. Where we go through the whole process where he's really passionate, he want to get on, he has the reality show, we see him get on, and then we see what happens after he gets on. It's like middle finger and I holla.
Well,
as far as the interaction with the peons, with the fans, with the ones that support.
Why are we the peons?
I mean,
if it wasn't
because,
for us,
but that's
they
the
would
way
not
that we're
have this great grand life that they have. I think the country music community has it right. They put the fans and media, you know, first, because they understand that is which their platform is made of, and I appreciate and respect them for that. Lee, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Your perspective was so valuable, and you were awesome.
I know you coming back, right?
My plan is to head out to the BETs as well, so I will let you know if I make that trek out to Los Angeles, and we can follow up, and I'll let you know what's going on out there as well.
Yes, okay, cool. We've covered the BET experience a couple of years, so we look forward to it. Hopefully we'll be out there with you.
Sounds fabulous. You ladies have a wonderful day. Take care.
All right, young man. Thanks
so
much.
See you next time.
All right, young lady. It's a great show. Thank you for tuning in with me, and we're going to end this with D'Angelo.
Why not?
All right.
Lovely week, all. See y'all next time.
See you next show.
With Jesus, when I say Jesus, I'm not talking about some blonde head, blue eyed, pale skin, but a bit of complexion, cracker Christ. I'm talking about the Jesus of the Bible with hair like lambs. I'm talking about that good hair. I'm talking about that nappy hair. That his body would be like pearl. Another scripture says his body would be like jasper. Another scripture says his body would be like. Yeah.
Oh,